From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. The government and the businessmen agreed to collaborate in handling irregular migration through Bali process. The National Development Planning Agency encouraged local government to achieve the sustainable development goals. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. The 7th Ministerial Conference of Bali Process took place in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday. The conference involved 281 delegations from 45 countries, including 4 international organizations, 26 ministers, and ministerial level. However, there was a new innovation by joining the business sector to fight the irregular migration or related to human trafficking and people smuggling, also the related transnational crime. In her press conference, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that the business sector had significant role, specifically collaborating with the government in addressing the irregular migration issue caused by economic factors. Retno added that her side evaluated that the welfare was the key to fight irregular migration in the area.
That prosperity is key to combating transnational organized crime, trafficking and smuggling network in the region. Next point is that closer collaboration between government and business sector is very strategic in ensuring that global value chain free from such crimes.
Head of the 7th Ministerial Conference Bali Process, Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop said that since the initiation of the Perth Forum last year in Australia, there were many business people who want to join the business forum in Bali process. According to Julie, the government realized that the limited ability in fighting the people smuggling and human trafficking needed the private sector involvement.
Last year, we convened for the first time a Bali process government and business forum because we recognize that governments alone cannot tackle these challenges and come up with solutions, that we need the support of the private sector.
The head of the Government and Business Forum Bali Process, Edi Sariatmaja, said that the creation of Recommendation AAA, which was acknowledged as an advance, had the clear concept. Specifically, it was about how the business sector and the government cooperated to fight forced slavery and human trafficking.
Called AAA, Acknowledge, Action and Advance. This concept provides a clear and precise direction of how business and government work hand in hand to combat forced labor and human trafficking, including specific roles of each party.
Head of the Government and the Businessman Forum Bali Process, who was also head of Fortescue Metals Group, Andrew Forrest, said that the one way to end modern slavery was by gather the front line, which consisted of the great businessmen and the government. Andrew added that on the same time, business sector also called all the government to support the legislation for the modern slavery, and the government had to strengthen, apply and carry out the legislation. According to Andrew, it became the support of a transparent supply chain and recruitment statistics to protect workers and minimize the risks of slavery. Director of Family, Women, Children, Youth and Sports at the National Development Planning Agency, BAPENAS, Woro Sri Hastuti Sulistyaningrum said on Wednesday in Jakarta that the government of Indonesia is committed to accomplishing the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals SDGs. According to her, the government of Indonesia has issued a presidential regulation regarding with the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. Furthermore, Woro Sri Hastuti explained that in order to support the accomplishment of the Sustainable Development Goals, the government of Indonesia has launched the National Action Plan of the Sustainable Development Goals. She further explained that the effort is supposed to be supported by local government by issuing the Regional Action Plan as Sustainable Development Goals as a global concession can be achieved to realize the sustainable development. Next, local government is expected to set up a regional action plan by involving integral actors from the socially, civil organization, academicians, and business people. Moreover, the government of Indonesia has carried out the synchronization of target and indicators of the Sustainable Development Goals into the documents of the medium-term national development planning, either the current period or the upcoming period. These stages are conducted by the government to support the global concession in a bid to achieve fair and sustainable development. In addition, Woro Sri Hastuti said that currently the government of Indonesia, through the National Development Planning Agency, is constituting the background study for the 2020 to 2040 medium-term national development planning. According to Woro, at the moment, the government is collecting various indicators of the national development planning, which later will be put in the national development planning documents of the Republic of Indonesia. She said that the process of development carried out in Indonesia should be able to be accessed and utilized by all parties, therefore, the development in Indonesia can be achieved thoroughly. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, in collaboration with the National Search and Rescue Agency, the National Agency for Disaster Management, the West Nusa Tenggara Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency, the Indonesian National Army, the Indonesian National Police, and the local government, keep on carrying out the evacuation process towards thousands of foreign tourists in the small three islands, or known as the Gili Islands, in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Foreign Affairs Minister, in a press statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, said after the 7-magnitude earthquake on Sunday, her ministry has successfully conducted evacuation towards foreign tourists in Gili Trawangan and Gili Air. Foreign Affairs Ministry, along with the joint team, have departed to Gili Meno in order to continue the process of evacuation. Besides that, the ministry also provides 2 help decks or additional service at the international airport of Lombok and port of Lembar.
Tim Kemlu juga masuk ke Gili Air karena kemarin
the
kita
team
sudah
from Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs also went to Gili Air because yesterday we had evacuated most of the people in Gili Trawangan and Gili Air. However, we have not yet evacuated people in Gili Meno. Today, we have started the evacuation in Gili Meno since 8 a.m. We hope the people in those islands have been successfully evacuated since today. We also have provided additional help decks at the airport and port other than the help decks in Lombok and Mataram and the hotline service in Jakarta. Minister Retno Marsudi added that the foreign tourist evacuation by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs is a follow-up of the assistance requested by several embassies in Jakarta, including the United Kingdom, France, Italy, Finland, Spain, Japan, Czech Republic, Portugal, and other countries. Besides that, the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry also accept direct assistance requested by family or relations of the foreign tourists from Germany, the United Kingdom, the United States of America, Belgium, Spain, Portugal, Japan, France, Greece, the Netherlands, Oman, and Kuwait through the hotline of Foreign Visitors Help Desk of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe expressed his deep sympathy to President of Indonesia Joko Widodo related to the earthquake in Lombok Island, West Nusa Tenggara on Monday. The written statement released by the Japanese Embassy in Jakarta was received by Antara on Tuesday. Japanese Foreign First Minister Taro Kono also sent his sympathy and condolence to Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi. Taro Kono said the Japanese government had been ready to give any assistance needed by the Indonesian government. He also prayed for the injured victims could get well soon and the damaged areas could be repaired soon. The earthquake measuring 7 on the Richter scale that rocked Lombok on Monday night caused 105 people died and more than 200 people injured. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Banda Aceh is hosting the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle IMTGT meeting on August 8-9, 2018. Several governors, district heads, and mayors from Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand are attending the meeting. Taufik Mulyansyah, spokesman of the Banda Aceh municipality, stated on Wednesday. The meeting discussed efforts to promote sustainable urban development in the IMTGT region as part of the Green City Action Plan. A seminar on sustainable urban development for IMTGT cities and a gathering of Green City Council members are among the highlights of the meeting. The seminar is expected to produce a draft on the Sustainable Urban Development Framework, which will be presented before members of the Green City Council. Results of the Banda Aceh meeting will be submitted to concerned ministers in the IMTGT member countries and will be discussed during the 24th ministerial meeting of IMTGT meeting to be held in Malacca, Malaysia on September 26. The Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle sub-regional programs aims to stimulate economic development in 32 of these three countries' less developed cities, districts, and provinces, which are home to over 54 million people. Executive Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEP, Eni Sri Hartati, said the economic growth of 5.27% year-on-year in the second quarter of this year was only temporary. The second quarter growth was driven mainly by growing household consumption on larger government spending, which is not sustainable in nature, and is sad. She said she saw a mismatch with increase in consumption, not coming with the proportional increase in production. Government spending should serve as a stimulus for both productive and consumptive sectors, she said. And he said it was possible production did not grow to follow the increase in consumption because the money for labor-intensive program was not spent on industrial sector in the country. Stimulus in spending failed to cause multiplier effect on the production sector. She said economic growth in the second quarter of this year would be a burden on economic growth in the third quarter on minimum source of income for consumption. The economic growth of 5.27% in the second quarter of this 2018 was relatively strong, the highest in the past several years. The Indonesian government has encouraged increased communication and mutual trust between the governments of Myanmar and Bangladesh in connection with the repatriation of Rakhine State refugees. The statement was made by Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi at a meeting with Myanmar Home First Minister Kyaw Swee on the sidelines of the 7th Bali Process Ministerial Conference in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday. On the occasion, Marsudi conveyed that the situation in Rakhine State and refugees in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, remain the main concern of the Indonesian government, according to a press release received by Antara on Tuesday. The minister also stressed the importance of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations' involvement in helping to restore stability in Rakhine as part of Kofi Annan's recommendations on the situation in Rakhine State. Responding to such input, Swee noted that the government of Myanmar had welcomed its Indonesian counterpart's proposal and lauded Indonesia's contribution in funding a joint solution to Rakhine State. Well, listener, that was the news.
Country. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on, will the United States change its policy to Iran? The President of the United States once again took a decision without paying attention to the views of his allies. Donald Trump has confirmed that the United States will continue to impose sanctions on Iran. To any government that trade with Iran, the United States will break its trade relation. In his statement on Tuesday, August the 7th, in Washington, Trump stressed that various sanctions would be imposed on Tehran, one of which was Iranian oil exports. The U.S. imposition of various sanctions for Iran following the withdrawing from the Comprehensive Action Plan, which is also referred to as the Iran Nuclear Agreement, was launched earlier in 2018. The agreement began to be discussed during Barack Obama's reign. Over the deal, Iran has taken steps toward nuclear restriction. Nevertheless, Donald Trump assessed the Obama-era's Washington policy as having benefited Iran unilaterally. On the statement of Donald Trump, who stressed the imposition of sanctions on his country, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani called it a psychological war. The Iranian president said that Trump's move was intended to spread the seeds of division among the Iranian people. Are allies of the United States unaware of Donald Trump's decision to give more sanctions to Iran? As many international mass media reported, Washington's allies disagreed with the decision. The European Union, for example, will continue to implement the initial agreement pioneered by President Barack Obama. The European Union argued that its opposition to Washington's decision was to protect companies in the country that have business relations with Tehran. The question then is, who will keep the nuclear agreement with Iran, or will the allies join the U.S. in boycotting Iran? Only time will show. Nevertheless, it is interesting to take note of Donald Trump's statement along with the decision to impose stricter sanctions on Iran. Trump said he remains open to reach a more comprehensive agreement with Iran. Well, that was today's commentary. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event on August 8, 1945, that is, the Soviet Union announces war with Japan. The leader of the Soviet Union, Stalin, announced war with Japan on August 8, 1945. Previously, Soviet and Japan had signed non-aggression agreement. However, after the United States bombed Hiroshima while Japan was ready to surrender, the Soviets used the opportunities to snatch some Japan territories. The next event was in 1967, the establishment of ASEAN. On August 8, 1967, in Bangkok, Thailand, five representatives of Southeast Asian countries, who are among others Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Adam Malik, Vice Prime Minister who also served as Minister of Defense and Minister of National Development of Malaysia, Tun Abdul Razak, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Philippines, Narciso Ramos, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Singapore, S. Rajaratnam, and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Thailand, Thammat Koman, had held a meeting and signed the ASEAN Declaration or Bangkok Declaration. The declaration signed the establishment of a regional organization, namely
the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. The organization had a motto, United in Mission, Identity, and the same community, which consisted of Southeast Asian countries, was aimed to accelerate economy, social, and cultural development of each member to maintain regional security and stability. It is also aimed to increase the opportunity of its members to discuss the differences in peace. Currently, ASEAN consisted of 10 member countries. The last event was about Indonesia and China signed Memorandum of Understanding on the Normalization of Diplomatic Relations. Relationship of Indonesia and China had passed through and the dynamic of social and politic. The history recorded that, by the invitation of Indonesian President Sukarno, Prime Minister of China Chu Enlai attended Asian-African Conference in 1955, which later created 10 Principles of Bandung or Dasasila Bandung, the principles which have supported the fight of the colonized nations to gain the independence. The relationship of the two countries has also reached the lowest point, which was signed by the termination of diplomatic relationship in 1967. The relationship has also reached the turning point by the commencement of diplomatic relations on August 8, 1990, through the signature of MOU about normalization of diplomatic relations by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Ali Alatas and Chinese Minister of Foreign Affairs Qian Qichen in Jakarta. By the normalization, Indonesia and China entered the new stage in bilateral cooperation, which was signed by mutual visits of government officials and society of both countries. That was Today in History.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Dear listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about the government pushes women to be more active for inclusive economy. Judgment about women who did not have ability in education, social and politic remains prominent in the era of digital economy-based development. Whereas gender equality issue is very important, because nowadays many women could perform similar tasks as former works of men. It was said by Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati in a seminar themed Women's Participation for Economic Inclusiveness in Surabaya, East Java on Thursday, August the 2nd. According to Sri Mulyani, the alignment to the women could increase additional values toward economic performance. On the opportunity, Minister Sri Mulyani explained that effort of the government to encourage the equality level through the provision of social assistance for poor families. One of the social assistances in Family Hope Program, which can help children, especially girls from poor families, to get the proper education. During this time, poverty became the reason for women from the poor families to drop out, while the men get more facilities for education. Another speaker in the seminar was expert staff of the Minister of National Development Planning, Head of National Development Planning Agency of Economic Synergy and Financing Division, Amalia Adiningar Widyasanti. She said that education has an important role to encourage the reinforcement of women's roles in the digital economic era. Meanwhile, Director of Payment System Policy Department of Bank Indonesia, Erwin Haryono, also evaluated that digital technology could help enhancement the women's participation to the world economy. E-commerce era could be the beginning to introduce the advantage of financial inclusion and the use of social media to the housewives. Report of McKinsey Global Institute Research Institution was also revealed on the seminar. On the report, it was stated that the acceleration of women and men equality in Indonesia could increase annual gross domestic product for $135 million in 2025. President Director of PT McKinsey Indonesia, Filio Wibowo, said that the projection was about 9% above the normal condition. The projection was based on Indonesia's better performance from the average of other Asia-Pacific countries related to the women equality. The McKinsey Global Institute research also stated that the use of digital technology could push productivity enhancement of the women entrepreneur in Indonesia. Nowadays, micro, small and medium enterprises owned by the women had contributed toward gross domestic product for 9.1%. With a women business, it has encompassed 35% of e-commerce income. Nevertheless, there were many things which should be done to increase the access of women toward internet and to get the advantage of digital literacy. That's the end of My Indonesia for today.
Here is news in brief from Dalat Bali. The 7th Ministerial Conference of Bali Process took place in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday. The conference involved 281 delegations from 45 countries, including 4 international organizations, 26 ministers, and ministerial level. Director of Family, Women, Children, Youth and Sports at the National Development Planning Agency, Woro Srihastuti Sulietyaningrum, said on Wednesday in Jakarta that the government of Indonesia is committed to accomplishing the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. According to her, the government of Indonesia has issued the presidential regulation regarding with the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, in collaboration with the National Search and Rescue Agency, the National Agency for Disaster Management, the West Nusa Tenggara Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency, the Indonesian National Army, the Indonesian National Police, and the local government, keep on carrying out the evacuation process towards thousands of foreign tourists in the small three islands, or known as the Gili Islands, in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe expressed his deep sympathy to President of Indonesia Joko Widodo related to the earthquake in Lombok Island, West Nusa Tenggara on Monday. The written statement released by the Japanese Embassy in Jakarta was received by Antara on Tuesday. Banda Aceh is hosting the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle meeting on August 8 to 9. Several governors, district heads, and mayors from Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand are attending the meeting. Executive Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, Eni Srihartati, said the economic growth of 5.27% year-on-year in the second quarter of this year was only temporary. The Indonesian government has encouraged increased communication and mutual trust between the governments of Myanmar and Bangladesh in connection with the repatriation of Rakhine State refugees. The statement was made by Indonesian Foreign Minister Randa Marsudi at a meeting with Myanmar Home Affairs Minister Khaw Swee on the sidelines of the 7th Bali Process Ministerial Conference in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. Show the world.
To various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to tourism destination in South Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listeners, in South Sulawesi, there is a regency called Maros. The regency is a tourism area which has complete varieties, such as Teletubbies Hills and Bengo Bengo Pine Forest. Not far from Puta River, there is amazing scenery. It is called Ramang Ramang Stone Forest. Listeners, in 2001, UNESCO enlisted Karst Maros as natural conservation, which has met 9 requirements, such as unique biodiversity and remains of ancient humans existing on cave wall. This place is the second biggest karst in the world after Karst Area in Yunnan, South China. Listeners, the word of Ramang Ramang comes from South Sulawesi language, meaning cloud or fog. The local people give the place with the name Ramang Ramang because every morning or when raining, the place is usually covered with cloud or fog. When cloudy, there are clusters of stone pillars at the fields of local people, and these make the scenery to be seen exotic. Listeners, Ramang Ramang tourism object is located at Salenrang Village, Bontoa District, Maros Regency, South Sulawesi Province. The location of the village is around 50 kilometers from Makassar. To get access of the tourism object, the area can be reached by motor vehicles. If you go from Makassar City, it takes around 2 hours. If you directly go from Hasanuddin Airport, it takes only 30 minutes. Was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is membeli kemeja, or in English, buying shirt, stajan. Next is a conversation about membeli kemeja, or in English, buying shirt. The location at Batik Shop on Malioboro. Anda is helping Tony to bid shirt.
Kemeja itu berapa harganya, Mas?
120.000.
80.000 ya?
Oh, belum bisa. Satu saja.
Oke, saya ambil satu ya.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today. Membeli kemeja, or in English, buying shirt. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kemeja itu berapa harganya? Kemeja itu berapa harganya? In English, how much is the shirt? 120. 120. In English, 120,000. 80,000. 80,000 in English 80,000. 100 saja. 100 saja in English only 100. Okay, saya ambil satu. Okay, saya ambil satu. In English, okay, I take one item. In the dialogue, the salesperson mentioned the price of shirt, 120,000 rupiah, or 120,000 rupiah. Anda beats the price by saying 80,000 ya, 80,000 ya, or 80,000 rupiah, is it okay? When you bid for something, you can say the price you want in a form of question, such as 100,000 ya, 100,000 ya, in English 100,000, okay? Bagaimana kalau 50,000? Bagaimana kalau 50,000? In English, how about 50,000? In addition to mention the price, you can also say boleh kurang. Boleh kurang. For example, Anda, berapa harga sepatu ini? Salesperson, 200,000. Anda, boleh kurang? Salesperson, maaf tidak bisa, harga pas. Harga pas means fixed price, so it cannot be bargained. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Kemeja itu berapa harganya, Mas?
120,000.
80,000 ya?
Oh, belum bisa. Satu saja.
Oke, saya ambil satu ya.
Listener, you've just listened to the conversation about membeli kemeja, or in English, buying shirt. Now I'll give you an exercise by mentioning the name, profession, the place for work, the day, office hour, and etc. For example, nama saya Andi. Saya seorang wartawan. Saya bekerja di surat kabar Sinar Pagi. Saya bekerja dari Senin sampai Jumat, mulai pukul 8 pagi sampai pukul 4 sore. Jam istirahat saya mulai pukul 12 sampai dengan pukul 1 siang. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will present you some beautiful songs from a musical group named Soul Vibe. To initiate our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Sahabat Sejati by Soul Vibe. Soul Vibe released the song on May the 4th, 2018. The song was firstly popularized by a musical group, Sheila on 7. The song is then brought with pop jazz nuance by Soul Vibe without reducing the essence of the song. Well, listener, here is Sahabat Sejati by Soul Vibe.
Sahabat sejatiku, hilangkah dari ingatanmu di hari kita saling berbagi. Dengan kotak sejuta mimpi, aku datang menghampirimu. Ku perlihatkan semua hartaku.
selalu berpendapat kita ini yang terhebat. Kesombongan di masa muda yang indah. Aku raja, kau pun raja. Aku hitam, kau pun hitam. Arti teman lebih dari sekedar materi. Pegang pundakku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku mulai lelah, lelah dan tak bersinar, yeah. Remas sayapku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku ingin terbang, terbang meninggalkanmu. Kamu, kau pun selalu menyanjungku. Aku dan kamu darah abadi. Demi bermain bersama, kita duakan segalanya. Merdeka kita, kita merdeka. Pegang pundakku, jangan pernah lepas. Dan tak bersinar. Remas sayapku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Yeah. Bila ku ingin terbang, terbang meninggalkanmu. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jalanan ini tak usah kita pikirkan ujung perjalanan ini. Tak usah kita pikirkan ujung perjalanan ini. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, bergantung aku.
Just listen to the song Sahabat Sejati by Soul Vibe. Soul Vibe is a group band from Indonesia which was officially established on March 20th, 2005. The name Soul Vibe was taken from the abbreviation of sounds of universal love, various instrument behavior. The members consist of Bayu Adiputra Imran as the lead vocalist, Ramadan Handianto Jiwatama as the bassist, and Muhammad Cesar Rizal as the drummer. Let's listen to the next song called Gravitasi. The song tells about a person who is deeply in love with someone. Even though the person and her lover have contradictory personality, in the end she cannot help but falling in love with her lover. After concealing her feeling for a long time, she finally admits her feeling toward him just like the gravity. Listener, please enjoy the song Gravitasi by Soul Vibe.
Lama, lama, ku jatuh cinta padamu. Sekian lama ku mengenalnya, begitu pun juga dia sama. Tak pernah ada satu kata, kau dan aku berbeda. Yeah. Sekian waktu pun berirama, ada rasa yang tak aku duga. Tiada ku sangka, tak kau curi hatiku.
suka.
The song Graffiti by Soul Vibe. Soul Vibe's career in Indonesian music industry is not doubted anymore. Especially since their debut, Soul Vibe has frequently performed at reputable jazz shows such as Jazz Goes to Campus, held by the Faculty of Economics, University of Indonesia in 2006, and Java Jazz 2007. The performances at many prestigious events emphasize their existence in Indonesian musical industry, that they are not just ordinary band. Listener, to conclude our segment, we will present you the last two songs entitled Gerangan Cinta and At Least Today by Soul Vibe Band. Happy listening and see you on the next edition of Music Corner. Bye.
Malam kian terasa larut dan dingin, hasrat pun ingin terus bersama. Sinar bulan yang terang terbayang, terbias indah di matamu. Jawab.
hingga tiada satu kata yang bisa ku ucapkan, biar kau tahu yang ku rasakan. Getar jiwa terguncang, buaikan bersatu genggam di jarimu. Ku tahu jawabnya. Manusia.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Day by day, time passes by, leave a trace of you and I. One thing I know and realize, nothing is impossible. Hope the best for you and I. Cherish every single time. I don't even know about tomorrow, but what I do know now, that I'm so in
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.